It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if they're special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletters there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent op-eds and Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts. Go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. Great show planned for you today. We're going to go through some headlines in segments one and two. We'll talk with Jen Hewlin, another one of my valued partners, owner of Water's Edge Winery. And then in the third and fourth segment, we'll be chatting with Josh Phillip. He is the award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times and host of the China Report. And apparently China is not treating their people very well. And so I think it's important that we'll have a conversation with Josh Phillip. As many of you know, last Friday was the I am a Trumpster minority bus tour kickoff. I did talk to Reggie and Johnny yesterday. They are out in the community. I asked how things were going, and they said that they were having people that were receptive and then some that weren't quite as receptive, but they are now out there on that tour. And so I'm really excited about that. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Or the new one is how the progressive activist left, the radical progressive activist left, is using fear to take away our freedoms. And so it's freedom versus fear, fear versus freedom. And so let's put on our thinking caps. As Rudyard Kipling, who is the author of The Jungle Book, has said, he said, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And he was born in 1865. He died in 1936. So that's very important for critical thinking to be asking these questions. And what happens with socialism and communism are very closely connected. Socialism actually controls industry, if you will, through rules and regulations and laws, whereas communism just takes everything over. But ultimately, the results are the same. Everyday hardworking people do not fare well under that, and it gets rid of this big, broad middle class that is inherent in the American idea, and it has the haves and the have-nots. And that is why we really need to be pushing back. We're seeing all of these issues are being clarified here in front of us. The veil is off, and we're in a fight for the country right now. Always like to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that's Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And thank you to each of you listeners as well. You're treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Today, go out and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. Our quote for today is from C.S. Lewis. He was a British writer and lay theologian, and he held academic positions in English literature at both Oxford University and Cambridge University. He is best known for his works of fiction, especially the Screwtape Letters, the Chronicles of Narnia, and the Space Trilogy, and for his nonfiction Christian apologetics, such as Mere Christianity, Miracles, and The Problem of Pain. Producer Steve, do you read much C.S. Lewis, or have you, over your life?
I have, from time to time, yes.
Have you read the Screwtape Letters?
No, and, oh man, this is hitting me cold. There was a specific tie to the Screwtape Letters now, and I'm trying to think of who it was or what it was. Some historical event, and the perpetrator of the event hung it all on the Screwtape Letters. And
oh, really?
I need to go back and put that together.
I never knew that. And actually, the Screwtape Letters is very interesting. C.S. Lewis is such a deep thinker that I have to read and reread these things just to try to get an understanding of it. But in the Screwtape Letters, it is an older devil talking to a younger devil how to get humans and move them over to the side of the devil. And so it's a really interesting read. I've read all of the Chronicles of Narnia. I am a big C.S. Lewis fan. But he said this. He said, of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated. But those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. I thought that was very apropos for what's going on in America right now, Steve.
Yeah, at least with a robber baron, you knew where they stood and where they were at, you know, in their position. Whereas the other individuals that he's talking about there, you never really know.
Yes, and that is why we do this show, is to shed light on what is happening out there. Wanted to bring up this, the very first headline. This is from The Federalist. You know, Biden was out there. He finally did a press conference. Apparently, it was 10 minutes. He read it, took no questions.
Much to his detriment. Yeah, he did.
But I find it astounding. He basically looked into the camera and tried to extort the American people and said that if you don't vote for me, this violence is going to continue. It is astounding that that is the vision of the Democrat Party. And he said something like, do I look like a radical? You know, well, quite frankly, when Tucker Carlson really kind of hit it last night, he said Joe Biden is the perfect guy to have out there because he doesn't look like a radical activist, but the people behind him are, and he is just parroting what they have to say. Basically, he's been a political shill for, what, 40 years?
47.
47 years. And so that he is the perfect one for the Democrat Party to put out there to very nicely extort the American people. Your thoughts on that, Steve?
Well, if I'm understanding correctly, I think Michael Pelka was talking about it a couple hours ago. The Dem strategy was to have him stay in the basement all the way up till the election. And all of a sudden, the numbers after last week, the RNC, and with all the crazy things that are going on around the country, the numbers started to turn so vividly in Trump's favor, they had to throw that strategy away and trot him out and, you know, take a chance on him making a public appearance and not totally sticking his foot in his mouth.
Well, and now their strategy is to blame Trump for all of this violence and destruction that is occurring in these Democrat, blue-run cities and states.
They are remarkable in their creativity.
And my friends, I hope, you know, I know that there is no way that we are going to convince the radical activists on the Democrat Party that are so far left. There's no way that we will convince them. But my hope is that Blue Dog Democrats and unaffiliated, independent, libertarian, Republican, conservatives, that we all be engaging in this battle of ideas with our friends and family. And hopefully there is people out there with enough intellectual curiosity to say, wait a minute, I'm going to dig a little deeper. I was just talking with someone recently who had been, you know, just taking the mainstream media, what they were saying as fact. And then they started to dig a little deeper. And all of a sudden they have become Donald Trump supporters. So I find that that's pretty exciting. You know, one of the things that I so appreciate is I get to work with so many wonderful people, and I have some fantastic partners with me. On the line with me is one of my valued partners. That's Jen Hewlin with Water's Edge Winery. Jen Hewlin, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kim. Good morning. Good morning to you, Steve.
And it's September 1st. So what's happening at Water's Edge Winery for September?
Right. It's fall. It's time for the leaves starting to change and the smell of freshly sharpened pencils.
I love it.
So we are working on wines. We've got the chef coming out with some new specials. As a matter of fact, he decided as we go into fall to bring back all of our favorites from our wine club members. So nachos, everybody's favorite nachos, will be back on the menu. Let's see, he's got an Italian chopped salad coming out and some beef sliders that are absolutely to die for. So you got to get in and try it out. You got to try out our new Rona 19, which is our Brunello. And we also have my new favorite is a Chianti, and it's called Fiasco 2020 because it's appropriate for this year.
Oh, my gosh. Most definitely, Jen Hewlin. So what are your hours? When do you open?
So the only day we're closed is Monday. So we're open from 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, and then 12 to 7 on Sunday. So you can come in and grab some lunch, or if you just want a happy hour after work on your way home, meet your friends there. Like-minded people, lots of freedom talk going on there. So if you need to be around people that think like you, we're a great place to swing in. And I'm always there, so stay high.
Most definitely. I was over there the other day and tried one of those new, I think it was the Rona 19 or whatever that was. And I love your sense of humor on that. Hey, and Jen Hewlin, you were one of those that was out front trying to get your business reopened during this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, and there was a lawsuit that was filed. What's the latest on that, Jen?
Well, I'm part of a group of people. So our attorney, Randy Corcoran, has gotten together. He's also the attorney for Representative Patrick Neville and for Bandimir Speedway, and they're getting together tonight at Bandimir. Gates open at 5. It's Tuesday, September 1st, so tonight. And the rally starts at 6. We're going to have Michelle Mulkin, Patrick Neville are going to speak. Randy Corcoran will be there. I'm sure he will say a few things. And it's a Stop the COVID Chaos rally. So
I like it.
They're getting together. Right? Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
So people that are like-minded, that think like us, that want to get together and rally, there's no destruction. There's no rioting. It's just people with their patriotic attitudes, supporting one another, and we're going to get together and rally and see what we can do about getting our state reopened. We're still working on it, and some of us are just going along like the state is open. So if you're looking for a place, again, the like-minded people, come down to the winery because it's the old normal in there. So.
Oh, I love it. It reminds me of probably our founding, where people came together and talked about big ideas and how to move towards freedom and opportunity and capitalism and the American idea. I so appreciate it. Jen, you are a valued partner. So how can people get more information?
You can reach us on our website at wewdenver.com. We're also on social media, Instagram. It's watersedgewinerydenver.com, wewdenver.com. Or you can swing by the winery and just ask. I'm there all the time and happy to sit down and chat with you.
Right. And that is, Sunday through Saturday. You're closed on Monday. So I guess that would be Tuesday through Sunday.
Tuesday through Sunday. Yep.
There you
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely.
Well, Jen Hewlin, thank you so much. You are such a value partner.
Well, thank you, Kim. Goodbye, Steve. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Sounds great. Before we go to break, shout out to another one of my great partners, and that is Hooters Restaurants. Great place to go and meet friends. They have a great happy hour Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. with all kinds of specials. Wednesdays are Wings Day. All you can eat, dine in for $15.99. They have lunch specials. There are 5 locations, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. Just meet some friends on these beautiful Colorado evenings and have a great time. More information, go to order.hooters.com. That's order.hooters.com. We'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. In the first segment, we were talking a bit about Joe Biden. He had a press conference yesterday where he basically looked into the camera and extorted the American people, said, if you don't vote Democrat, this is going to continue. Let's walk that through a little bit more, Producer Steve. Do you honestly think somebody that is going to extort you to get your vote really cares about your life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? I don't think so. And so this is why this election is so important. We've seen that they have been trying to put people into groups, into tribes, and then pit these tribes against each other. And the tribe that is at the bottom of the barrel is your straight Caucasian male who has been under assault by these, by this movement for quite some time. And I will tell you, it was your Caucasian males that have basically saved the American idea. They've stood against tyranny. They stormed the beaches at Omaha in World War II, Iwo Jima. They were at Gettysburg. Hundreds of thousands of lives were lost in the Civil War. They were at Bunker Hill. And the idea that extorting people that this will all go away. This is what has actually happened is Donald Trump has brought clarity to all of this that has been percolating underneath the surface here. And I'm really excited that we're seeing what we really have here, because now we see the enemy. We see the enemy of freedom. Because it's been so subtle underneath. We now see the enemy of freedom, and we need to fight for freedom or liberty, which is the responsible exercise of freedom. Your thoughts, Steve?
Well, don't be too surprised about what Biden said. That's a favorite tactic of his, like the comment that was made, was it back in July already? He was addressing African-American people and saying, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. It's that either-or mentality, you said it, extortion, I guess, is what you called this comment from yesterday. But that either or type of thing, that's one of his favorite games.
Well,
and he always likes to kind of be that tough guy, shoot from the hip type of, in your face approach. The humorous thing with him is a couple minutes later, he attempted to talk about the virus and he went on one of his outer space, I'm on my way to outer space, don't bother me trips.
Well, that reminds me, Steve, Candace Owens, I think, put out a meme. The meme went like this. It says, Joe Biden says, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. And Hillary Clinton says, if you don't vote for me, you ain't a woman. And Donald Trump says, if you don't vote for me, you ain't smart.
That's classic Candace Owens.
That's classic Candace Owens for sure. So let's go to Portland. The Democrat governor, the Democrat mayor of Oregon and Portland, respectively, have let the city burn. And now the progressives demand that Portland's mayor and the police chief resign after the fatal shooting that happened this weekend. And so lesson to all progressives is you can never be progressive enough for the mob. This Portland mayor has turned a blind eye with what has been happening in his city. He has allowed people's dreams to be destroyed. And he always thought that he would probably be out of reach because he was on the side of these rioters and these destroyers, and now they are calling for his resignation. And so you can never satisfy a mob, Steve, ever.
Well, it's the saying, if you give me an inch, I'll take a mile type of thing. No matter what is given up to them, they'll take more.
They will.
And there it is.
And so that moves us to another headline, and this is from Fox News. Congressman Ken Buck, right here from Colorado, is calling for congressional hearings to try to find out the source of all the funding for all of this stuff that has been going on. This is very well organized. As we recall, right here in Aurora, this was several weeks ago when the police substation, I think it was Precinct 1, was attacked. The doors were actually chained closed. And when finally that whole thing dissipated, there were fuel cans that were in a staging area around there. Somebody is planning this, and good for Congressman Buck to say, hey, let's start to investigate where the money's coming from on this.
We have talked about this many times now, and you know, we put it into the frame of piles of bricks that show up conveniently. Well, mm-hmm. how does a pile of bricks show up right where they're needed on a supposedly event that wasn't really planned? It was supposed to be spontaneous, and yet here's the pile of bricks. And how many times now have we heard, even since Ferguson, when this really kind of got off the ground, people are arrested, and when their IDs are checked, they find out, well, they're not from Ferguson, they're not from Kenosha, they're from some other place in the country. So now it really starts making you thinking, well, what are they doing during the day? Where do they hang their head at night? Where do they eat? There's money being pumped into this.
Well, you know, when I stopped down at the Capitol, this was right after Memorial Day, and the protesters were arriving, and it was so interesting. It looked like suburban kids that were a number of the protesters. Of course, we know that as it gets further into nighttime, that that's when the trouble really begins, and the instigators, I think, join in. But I was actually, and I took a picture of it, that there was a big table with water and food and people distributing that to the protesters. And I'm like,
Nice.
I wonder who's paying for all that.
Yes.
And where are they staying? Can you say homeless encampment is exploding here in Colorado? I would submit to you that there's a lot of kids that are staying in these homeless camps. In fact, I was talking to, this is kind of anecdotal, a friend of mine who has a friend who does a lot of volunteer work with the homeless here. And she said, her friend said that it's a bunch of young kids that are now in the homeless encampments. And it's like, go home, go back to your parents. You know, we are here to help the homeless, and you are just making matters worse. I thought that was very interesting.
Who brought it to our attention, or maybe we just see it in the pictures of those encampments? The tents are top of the line REI, not mm-hmm. just a blanket thrown over a rope type of thing.
Yeah. And so, again, that's one of the reasons why you start to put your thinking cap on and you say, what's going on here? Who's funding this? And good for Congressman Buck to start some hearings into that. A couple of other things on the national level, and this is from the Federalist, that by Avita Duffy. The corporate media didn't report what it's really like in Kenosha, Wisconsin, so she said, I will. And Kenosha is situated in the southern part of the state, has a population of about 100,000 people. I think it's about an hour and a half from Chicago. And it is, there's a number of different stories here, but the mainstream media has not been telling these stories. And it says, in uptown Kenosha on Tuesday night, a woman who said she had lived in Kenosha for more than 40 years broke down in tears, saying her city felt like a war zone, and she was terrified. Indeed, the scene on Tuesday night was something I had only seen in photos of war-torn countries. Men and women stood with baseball bats, handguns, semi-automatic rifles, and shotguns in front of their businesses and homes. Many Kenoshans explained to me that law enforcement lacked the necessary numbers of officers to control the situation, forcing them to focus on defending public buildings such as the courthouse, leaving citizens to fend for themselves. Chuck, who owns an uptown tire shop, said he had been spending every night on his roof guarding his shop with guns. Chuck, who said he is for Trump all the way, was exhausted from several sleepless nights and fed up with his livelihood and life being terrorized by Black Lives Matter rioters. And then let's just connect another dot. If you go to Black Lives Matter, their website, and you donate, the clearinghouse goes directly to Act Blue, which is the big Democrat fundraising arm. It's given millions and millions of dollars to Biden, to Kamala Harris, to Bernie Sanders. And I'm surprised that they didn't even hide that, Steve. I mean, it's astounding to me.
Well, I knew as soon as I opened this mic, stand by.
That Jason McBride would be calling in. My friends, it is astounding to me that they don't even hide that. And so it is an important opportunity when you're talking with your kids or your nieces or your nephews that are all in for Black Lives Matter. Connect the dot with the destruction that is occurring, and that this is a fundraising, they're taking it as an opportunity for the Democrat Party. And just connect those dots, because I've done that with a couple of young people. And it wasn't that I really convinced them, but it did start, I could see that they're starting to go, wait a minute, this isn't quite as organic and true and, you know, social justice thing as I thought. This might be political. And we've got 2 months here now. We've got to be engaging in this battle of ideas. And Jason McBride, I know you engage in the battle of ideas on a regular basis. And you and Presidential Wealth Management, again, you are a treasured partner of mine as well. Jason McBride, happy Tuesday.
Well, thank you very much, Kim. I appreciate that. And, you know, being on your show gives us and me a chance to put out some ideas sometimes, and that helps me stay engaged in the battle on a daily basis. So thanks for that, too.
Well, I do appreciate it. And I had mentioned it in the first segment. We talked a little bit about it yesterday. But you were down at the with the I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus kickoff on Friday. I talked to Reggie and Johnny, and they are already out in the community. But it is pretty exciting what those guys are doing, and it was great to have you as one of the part of the motorcade there.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun, a lot of good people, and you know, nobody got anything launched at their car or bus, as far as I know. So. We did okay there. Hopefully some people saw it and thought about it. And, yeah, what Reggie and Johnny are doing is really something. So hopefully they'll get some real good support and be able to just keep on trucking.
And that's for sure. And they are true patriots. So, but let's move over to the business side. What's going on in the market right now?
Well, it's, you know, pretty much the same old story, Kim. The Dow yesterday struggled a little bit, down a couple hundred points. But I believe the NASDAQ gained another 79 and just continues to push to new all-time highs. Your big tech stocks, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Facebook, you know, Zoom, I mean, anything pretty much having to do with technology seems to just be rising vertically. While, you know, some of your other stuff is not moving quite as fast, your industrial stocks or health or value are still lagging behind to some degree. This has been quite an amazing move, considering, you know, honestly, that the economy is still not in the greatest of shape right now, and there's still a lot of uncertainty. You know, this market does seem a bit risky to me, but you know what, Kim, as long as people are saying they're worried about it, they don't understand how it can keep going up, it'll probably keep going up. The time when everybody says wow and throws in the towel and agrees that this is the greatest thing ever, usually that's when we're at the top.
And that is why I, you know, this is an opportunity. We talk about when opportunity knocks, you need to answer the door. And there's an opportunity right now to sit down, assess your risk tolerance. I really encourage people to do that, so that I do think things will be volatile. And so I'd highly recommend that people sit down with you and your other colleagues at Presidential, because you've been around for a while. You know that things go up and that they can go down. And just, I just would really recommend people take an opportunity to sit down and talk with you, Jason McBride.
Well, we appreciate that, Kim. And don't forget, we are open for business. You can come into the office. We don't make you wear a mask in the office if you don't want to. So, you know, it's normalcy, again, at least to some degree, where you don't have to do a meeting through the internet or a Zoom meeting or whatever. You can come and sit face to face. I mean, I know with me that's a horrible thing, but we do have a lot of other highly more attractive advisors at the office other than me as well, Kim. So it could be a plus.
Well, you know what? And Jason, I'm over Zoom meetings right now. I avoid them at all costs if I possibly can. So yes, yeah, sitting down, we're social beings, sitting down, particularly when you're talking about your money and these big things, it's good to sit down face to face. and have that conversation. So people can reach you, Jason McBride, at 303-694-1600. Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30. That's 303-694-1600. And then this landing page that we have together, AIR, that's AIRpresidential.com, AIRpresidential.com. And I would recommend that people reach out to you for that analysis that you did regarding, it's just a quick one, and it was, I guess, we're trying to figure out regarding the state of Colorado, if you're paying more in taxes after the Trump tax cuts, which is true, but it also showed how much people, everyday people, are saving with the Trump tax cuts. So I would highly recommend that people jump over there and get that from you.
Absolutely. It can't hurt to be more educated and smarter and knowledgeable. Taxes are confusing, and you don't have to be confused. Take a look at how it works.
Well, and again, we're 2 months out now on this election, Jason, and when we're talking with people and they say, oh, it was just millionaires and billionaires that got money from more money from the Trump tax cuts, you have proven that that is not true. And so I would highly recommend, once again, people arm themselves with this knowledge so that they can engage in reasonable conversations with others as we are engaged in this battle of ideas, and that is a great tool to have in your toolbox.
That's right, Kim. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, you have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, bye-bye.
Now, this next couple of segments are really important. Josh Philip is an award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times and host of the China Report. And I have a number of things that he just recently had highlighted or lowlighted that is happening in China. You will not want to miss this conversation. We will be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, our most recent op-eds, and Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. Go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We were talking with Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, about tools in your toolbox when you're engaging in the battle of ideas. And I highly recommend that you go to airpresidential.com and take a look at it, that analysis that Jason did regarding pre-Trump tax cuts and after, and just how much money everyday people have in their, more money they have in their pocket because of that. But another tool you should have in your toolbox is the Epoch Times. I subscribe to the Epoch Times, and they are, I would say, true journalism. They are actually looking for facts and in the context of truth. And one of the great writers there is Josh Philip. He's an award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times, and he's the host of the China Report. He's been watching China for a long time, and we've had him on before, and they're always such informative conversations. Josh Philip, welcome to the show.
Hey, real pleasure being back on.
So there were four things. I was looking at some of the recent things that you were talking and writing about. And I guess one of the positive things, Josh, when you're following China, there's never a lack of things to talk about, huh?
Tell me about it. Yeah, that never gets old. That never dries up, at least.
Well, recently there were four things that I saw that you were talking about. Apparently, China is locking people in their homes. They're forcibly making people take medicine. They're paying neighbors to snitch on neighbors regarding religious activities. And they're shredding even more paper at the San Francisco and New York Chinese consulates. They had had a shredding party, I think it was at the Houston consulate recently, that we had talked about. So where do you want to start with this? And I actually see some correlation with some of the things that are happening to Americans with this whole COVID-19 thing. So we need to be concerned. Which thing do you want to bite off first on this, Josh Phillip?
Well, I could tie it all together for you if you want.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah. So here's what's happening right now as we speak. The Chinese Communist Party is getting ready to launch, well, have already started launching, a new purge. Xi Jinping is talking about reviving Mao's major purge internally within the party. It was the bloodiest purge in the Chinese Communist Party. And this was how Mao Zedong did his whole march to become chairman of China, where he became the absolute leader of China. Now, when people talk about Xi Jinping, the head of the Chinese Communist Party, you know, of course, he got rid of term limits. That makes it so he can basically keep becoming president. The system of government in China is more complicated than that. He could be president, and he'll have no power. He's also in head of, like, the CPC. He's in charge, basically, of the government side and the military side of the CCP as well. He has three titles. Without having those other two titles next to president, basically, he's just a figurehead. He has no power. And so he's using this purge right now, because by 2022, when the purge is set to end, that's pretty much when the next election is going to happen in terms of, you know, internally in the party, not like a real election. And so he's trying to consolidate power, and he's also trying to basically clear the way, it seems, to become chairman of China. That's the big picture. And part of that means carrying on every abuse that Mao Zedong was famous for. Right now, he's mimicking, even in their own writing, it's the Yan'an purge, the Yan'an rectification. This was when, within the Chinese Communist Party, they were just killing Communist Party members left and right. Bloodiest purge in the history of the Communist Party. And what it does is it's trying to make them all ideologically aligned behind the main leader and the main narrative. And the reason they're doing this is really, it seems, because the party is afraid of collapse. The party is afraid about, you know, whether it's going to last. And so they're trying to reinvigorate the communist ideology in China. And part of that means everything that comes along with that. Human rights abuses, religious abuses, yeah, locking people in their homes, snitching on your neighbors. You mentioned they have a program that I talked about where they will pay you money if you report on the religious activities of other people. If you see someone handing out flyers, you see someone printing Bibles, if you report them, you can get paid up to $14,000 in China.
Oh my gosh!
And I mean,
that's a lot in yeah. China.
It is. Well, keep in mind, average pay for most people is about $140-ish a week. I think, or maybe a month. I'm sorry. And so, yeah, that's a whole lot. That's a whole lot. And so, this is where the big picture is right now.
Now, Josh, we have talked in the past. You have followed China for quite some time, and I was a little shocked the first time that you said this, that with Donald Trump, you thought that there might not have been anything out there to kind of turn the train around on China, but Donald Trump has done that. And then you just mentioned that the Chinese Communist Party is concerned about collapse. So I'm connecting a dot, saying that Trump has probably been successful in that. So is that correct? Am I reading that or hearing that correctly?
It is. Well, I can tell you. I mean, so let's go back a little bit in history. 2008, 2007. What happened? Russia and China had discerned basically that the United States was on the decline. They saw the economic downturn in the United States. They saw some of the shifts taking place culturally. They figured this was the end of the United States. They thought the U.S. model of global governance was done. Remember, 2008, that was, you know, Obama was elected, but also you had kind of all the negative perceptions globally of the U.S. around the Iraq war, Afghanistan war, and so on. A lot of different countries were turning away from the United States. The U.S. was losing influence internationally. And of course, the U.S. economy was falling apart. We were hugely in debt and not showing signs of improving. It got worse over the course of the Obama administration, of course. And of course, some would say, still having issues, but I think it's in the process of fixing. But here's what happened. Russia and China discerned this was the end of the United States, essentially. And I mean, not the United States itself, but in terms of global governance. And they believed the China model was the future model of the world. And so what happened? China abandoned its policy for a peaceful rise. And that's when they started taking over the East China Sea, the South China Sea, started asserting itself internationally. That's when Russia began asserting itself in Ukraine, you name it, right? Georgia. These countries began to become more militarily assertive, and they were like, what's the U.S. going to do? They're not going to intervene. They're not going to go to war with us. And so why should they care? Now, in terms of Trump coming about, at least based on what I've seen, the Chinese Communist Party did not really see it coming, because all the polling data, all the information, everything being shown to everybody, I mean, even a lot of people in this country didn't see it coming. The polling data suggested it would never happen, and so a lot of them did not really fully prepare for it. And Trump came in, and he's willing to do things that I believe no other politician would have done. Because, conventionally, when you talk about conservatives and Democrats, they have their own reasons for siding with Republicans and Democrats. They have their own reasons for siding with the CCP to some extent. Democrats, because, their own reasons, sometimes money, sometimes ideology, socialist system and so on, or they want to just maintain peace and diplomacy, and so they don't take a hard line. Republicans, sometimes because they wanted free trade. The Republican Party was more known in the past for wanting to have big business, and that meant mostly not interfering with what China's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Trump has shifted that culture. He's completely changed the culture of American politics. And I don't think anybody could have seen that coming, especially not the Chinese Communist Party. And his willingness to go and do things that, would forbid American companies from working with major Chinese state-run companies, his ability to go in there and just say, this is an unfair trade deal, we're getting rid of it. This is a ridiculous abuse of American companies, we're getting rid of it. Unless you want to change it, we're better off not even being in your country. And, of course, this means some big businesses are unhappy about it, which is why, ironically, a lot of the millionaires and billionaires, well, maybe not the millionaires, but a lot of the billionaires don't like Trump, right? So it's kind of one of the big ironies right now. China has played a big part in that. Trump is willing to do things that I don't think any other president would have done. And, like I said, even for myself, I did not see a lot of that coming, to be honest.
Well, Josh Philip, that's one of the reasons that they're pulling out all stops to try to prevent his reelection. Let's go to break. This is just absolutely fascinating stuff, Josh Philip, award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times. Before we do that, though, I want to give a shout-out to another one of my great partners, and that is Castlegate Knife and Tool. It's a family-owned business. They're located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. I've been there. It's a fabulous store. They have knives for collectors, for military personnel, for the sportsmen, obviously. I've had a number of weddings finally to get to go to, so I've been giving some beautiful knife sets that I get at Castlegate. So go to castlegate.com for more information. That is castlegate.com, and let them know that you heard about it from me. And let's go to break. We'll continue the conversation with Josh Philip.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and sign up for my weekly newsletter at kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me is Josh Phillip, an award-winning investigative reporter with the Epoch Times and host of the China Report. My friends, I would recommend that you put the Epoch Times in your mental toolbox so that you can engage, and particularly with your kids coming home from college, the kids in high school, your neighbors, so that you really can know the facts, know what's going on out there. And the Epoch Times, I think, is a very trusted news source. You know, Josh Phillip, you guys are doing a great job over there.
Yeah, really appreciate it. We're trying to.
So we're talking about what is happening in China. And you recently said that China's locking people in their homes. They're forcibly making people take medicine. They're paying significant amounts for neighbors to snitch on neighbors regarding religious activities. And they're shredding paper at the San Francisco and New York Chinese consulates. And a lot of this, I mean, Trump has really kind of turned China on its head a bit. And so it looks like they're kind of desperate right now, Josh Phillip.
That is the case, actually. So, I mean, on the issue of people being forced to drink medicine, being locked in their homes and so on, a lot of that right now is happening in Xinjiang. And the interesting part of this is you might have heard about China's persecution of Muslim Uyghurs.
Right.
That's where the Muslim Uyghurs mostly are. And so for them, this is being interpreted almost as a type of, like, ethnic cleansing. I've talked to some people, you know, who are Uyghurs and who represent these people, and they're saying that pretty much only the Uyghurs are getting targeted, not the ethnic Han Chinese. And, yeah, they're being forced to drink medicine, and they're being forced to record it or join meetings to prove that they're drinking it. And people afterwards are reporting all kinds of weird health issues. They're reporting, you know, feeling ill and all these things. they have a corporal punishment system there where if you violate, you know, these lockdowns, they're chaining people in front of their houses. There's videos of it. People, like, you know, handcuffed in front of their houses, shamed, and so on. They're doing it publicly as well. Like, I mean, it's like, you know, in the medieval times where you'd, you know, be put in the stocks and have your head and hands there. People throw tomatoes at you. It's very much like that. They're still doing that in China. Just they're handcuffing you in front of your house instead.
Wow.
Yeah, when it comes to them destroying documents that you mentioned at the San Francisco and New York Chinese consulates, yeah, they brought in these big paper shredder trucks. We actually had the exclusive footage of it. They hired local paper shredding companies to go there. Now, you might remember when the U.S. ordered the Chinese consulate in Houston to close, there was that viral video of the people in the courtyard of the consulate, you know, with these burning trash cans. It looked like they were throwing documents into it. Well, it does appear they're doing the same thing now as well with these other consulates, which is raising belief or concern, whichever side you're on, that maybe the U.S. is going to be closing these other Chinese consulates as well. Actually, Epoch Times, we received some leaked documents that suggest why this may be happening. The Chinese Communist Party sent out orders to its front organizations telling them to begin destroying files because they're concerned that if individuals get arrested, you know, for espionage in the U.S., if, let's say, a front organization like a think tank or a business or so on, if they get exposed and the people get arrested and charged with espionage or whatever, that when the forensics and evidence collection is done and it shows all their emails and documents and so on, it's going to expose all the orders of the Chinese Communist Party, and they're terrified that that's going to happen. Because they do this on such a large scale. It is such a nefarious, widespread system when it comes to how they subvert our politics, our economic systems, you know, our media, think tanks, academic community, you name it. It's a huge, huge system. In fact, there was a report coming out from China, another leaked document, that showed when it comes to one of their programs for subverting the academic community, targeting overseas students, experts, academics, and so on, they have something like at least over 200,000 people within just one of these systems. And think about it. Think about how big of a deal it is. If you even have 10 spies working in American universities, let alone 200,000, you know, let that sink in, 200,000. And that's just one of their programs. You know, people working through subversive means within our own institutions, targeted through just one program of the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, you just mentioned universities, and this is another, I think, dot to connect, and that is that American universities, which we have seen many of them, are now pushing radical left agendas. Many of these universities, you know, have international students, many students from China, that are paying full fare to attend there. So it's a money machine for many of these universities. And they probably would prefer that Donald Trump keep his hands off of that, because that's been such a money machine for them. Your comments on that, Josh?
Well, that's totally true. There's two sides to it. Now, not all Chinese students are spies, but the Chinese Communist Party would target them as such. The main Chinese student spy group would be the Chinese Student and Scholar Associations. These are managed and paid for, oftentimes, by the Chinese consulate. The Chinese consulate will oftentimes finance them. In fact, a lot of their own websites, and they have them at just about every major university in the U.S., their own websites detail, and often state directly, and I've done articles on it, stating that they get paid by the Chinese consulate, and they take their orders from the Chinese consulate. And these individuals, these are not normal students. They monitor other Chinese students. If a normal Chinese student tries to join an event like a democracy event or so on, they can get punished. They can face you know, criminal punishment in China. Their families can be punished. And there are cases of this happening. In fact, one of the big stories now is because the Chinese Communist Party has, you know, through Hong Kong, created this extradition treaty and so on, and they've begun enforcing their laws not just in China and Hong Kong, but around the world. If you violate Chinese law anywhere in the world, including when it comes to speech, you could be held liable and even possibly face extradition to China, which is why the U.S. canceled the extradition treaty with Hong Kong not too long ago. Now, a lot of universities are looking at that, and they're creating warning programs to tell Chinese students, possibly, if you join this class, you may violate this law. And so universities in the United States are having to assess their you know, what they're teaching the students and figure out, okay, will this get our Chinese visiting students, like, persecuted in China? Universities on American soil have to start considering that now, and even posting warnings for Chinese students.
That is absolutely astounding. And, you know, Josh Phillip, with this whole COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, I think it's really kind of taken the veil off of a lot of things that have been happening in education and in higher education as well. And I think that a lot of people may be reassessing on how much they've been spending for their kids' college educations, or the amount of debt that American students have been taken on to go to college. And I think that might affect this kind of this indoctrination and this bowing down to China. What do you think, Josh?
I think that's the case. And in fact, I think the Trump administration is looking at how valuable college actually is. Some of the interesting programs they had recently, not related to China, that I find very interesting, is they made it so that government jobs no longer require college degrees. I think that's a huge move. And yeah, I think people are really assessing, okay, like, what did I learn in college? Not much. What did I retain from college? Not much. How much debt do I have from college? Well, a whole lot, and I'm working to, you know, pay it off still. A lot of people are assessing that. I can tell you, I have a 10-year-old daughter. When she's of college age, I'm going to take the money I would have given her to, you know, go to college, and I'm going to tell her to start a business. You know, what do you need to start a business? $20,000? How much is college? Right, $200,000. Right. So, I think people are reassessing the value of college at this point. And yes, a lot of colleges are basically just indoctrination centers. There is no more free debate, no more free speech. It's a single ideology, and if you step outside of the single ideology, you'll be attacked by your fellow students and possibly even your teachers. And yeah, so it's, what is the value of it? It's becoming pretty complicated, I think.
Well, it is. Now, we've got just a couple of minutes, and I wanted to go back to the Muslim Uyghurs. Why are they being targeted so much, Josh Phillip?
Well, the Chinese Communist Party, just like Tibet, invaded East Turkestan, as they would call it, now called Xinjiang, just like they invaded Tibet and basically took it over. Now you have ethnic groups that are not part of the main Chinese culture, who don't want to be part of the main Chinese culture and whose religions are different from the main Chinese culture. And they're trying to do ethnic cleansing. They're trying to get rid of their culture, get rid of their religion. Same thing they're doing to Tibetans, same thing they're doing to house Christians, same thing they're doing to Falun Gong practitioners, same thing they're doing to Muslims. And, you know, one of the real ironies with what's happening in East Turkestan or Xinjiang, is whatever you want to call it, is actually a lot of the big Muslim countries, Iran, Pakistan, not only are they not condemning it, some of them are even supporting the CCP in its persecution of Muslims because they get, you know, financial benefits from the CCP. It really shows, I think, that this is a lot of these issues with these countries are not religion, it's politics. They side with the CCP. A lot of these countries are really more communistic than they are Islamist. Because, again, they're supporting the CCP in these persecutions sometimes. And at the very least, none of these big Muslim countries in the United Nations have opposed the CCP for doing this. And it's interesting that because CARE and some of the grassroots Muslim organizations are actually opposing these abuses. And so you're seeing a divide within the Muslim communities between the tyrannical governments and the grassroots. And when it comes to China, the tyrannical governments are supporting the CCP in these abuses, which is, I mean, really a pretty crazy development, in my opinion.
Oh, my gosh, for sure. Hey, Josh Phillip, we are out of time. How can people reach you, get more information?
They can find my show, Crossroads with Joshua Phillip, on YouTube. Crossroads with Joshua Phillip. The China Report is one of the segments we do. And I do daily updates 5 days a week and then a live video on Sundays.
Okay. Josh Phillip, thank you so much. Greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Okay. And our quote for today is C.S. Lewis. He said, one of the most cowardly things ordinary people do is to shut their eyes to the facts. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.